Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Coming up on today's wrestling news, further details on the WWE release of Jeff Hardy. Chris Jericho has been hospitalized whilst in the UK. Johnny Gargano is now a free agent. And why WWE made major changes to Raw's main event. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Michael Sidgwick.
And this is the news. Right, let's kick off with more details on that release of Jeff Hardy. The news broke yesterday afternoon here in the UK. Me and Adam Cleary gave you the most basic details when it came to it. He's been released. He was offered sort of rehab and what have you. He turned it down and WWE came to terms on his release. That came out from Sean Rossap of Fightful.com, as I said, yesterday afternoon. And now Andrew Zarian of the Brilliant Matt Men Pro Wrestling Podcast has provided a further update on that, saying that the 44-year-old has kind of had a rough few weeks, basically. He says, what I was told is that he's been really good. He does occasionally drink, but the last couple of weeks have been rough for him. Those are the words, more or less. I hope he gets better. It's a difficult story to talk about this, Sidge, because obviously we know Jeff Hardy's had his issues in the past. We obviously saw that report coming out after the weekend where he'd been sent home from the live show where he walked out mid-match after tagging in Drew McIntyre. We don't know a great load of details. There's been some awful takes online about this, but it's been a rough few weeks for him. Like I said, we know he's got his issues. I suppose the only thing we really can say is just wish him well in his recovery and hope he gets the support that he needs.
Yeah, it's going to be a grim and not particularly insightful news video. There's nothing to say. It would be in bad taste to speculate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it seems quite... We can infer the reasons behind the release. We don't need to do anything more than that. I don't want to speculate any further. I think it's entirely the wrong time to go up. AEW's bonus. Yeah. Like, don't... It's all you need to do. Must you do anything? Is just tweet a well wish. Don't even at him. Just send a nice little vibration.
Yeah,
just a nice
good
little
vibes
vibration
out there
along the waves, and just hope that he's going to be okay. I'm kind of a cynic by nature, but the recovery of Jake the Snake Roberts has always stuck with me, especially in an industry. When I'm 36 years old, I grew up watching professional wrestling from about 1990 onwards, and the stars of that generation. Like, it's a harrowing, omni-tragedy, if you like. But Jake the Snake Roberts is there as an example and an illustration that something as horrible as addiction, which has affected me very, very personally and closely, can in fact be overcome. I know people in my real life who've managed it. I know people who I used to watch on television who've managed it. So I hope in any which way it can happen for Jeff, it does.
Yeah, I think it's silly of people to be quite dismissive of this. And I saw, like I say, awful takes that I'm not even going to... mention here online off the back of this. This isn't about him being with WWE, this isn't about WWE releases, this isn't about AEW, this is about Jeff getting the help that he needs, and we wish him well in his recovery with that. Like you say, it's a very difficult issue, and it's far too easy for people to sit here and judge from their sort of ivory towers when in reality it's a lifelong issue, if we're perfectly honest. So yeah, best of luck to Jeff Hardy in his recovery. Speaking of recovery, Chris Jericho hospitalised whilst he is here in the UK. He's obviously doing the Fozzy tour. The issue described as a non-COVID treatable health issue. They were due to play a show in Swansea, Wales, but the venue Sin City announced that the gig was cancelled, having received the following message from the band. Chris was checked into hospital by doctors with a non-COVID related treatable health issue. Regrettably, the show is cancelled, all tickets refunded, etc, etc. They're going to provide updates for the shows in Nottingham on Saturday and London on Sunday as soon as they have details for that. But a concerning headline to read, thankfully non-COVID related, yes. But it's a 51-year-old man. It's not as easy as it used to be.
No, not at all. And again, I apologise, guys. It's not the most informative or gossipy or entertaining or positive news video this thus far. But, you know, there's really nothing else to say. It would be in bad taste to speculate as to the reasons. Everyone just wants Chris Jericho to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's realistically all there is to say. I would gather Chris Jericho is like a divisive performer. If you haven't been entertained by at least one thing he's done, mm-hmm. not a wrestling fan, so just wish him all your best. He does the same for his fallen comrades and everything else.
Yeah.
Incredibly charitable. So let's just extend the same courtesy to him.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, it's Fozzy stuff, maybe slightly divisive, especially for wrestling fans, but you can't argue about the impact he's had on this industry. And again,
he's just a human being anyway.
Yeah, again, we just wish him well in his recovery, whatever the health-related issue. I'm just, honestly, I saw Hospitalised, and obviously your brain goes to the worst with everything that's going on in the world, or has been going on in the world for the last, 18 months, Omicron, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get too negative here. But the moment he said non-COVID, for some reason, I thought, oh, he's fine then. He's not fine, obviously, he's in hospital, but it's just reassuring that he's getting the treatment that he needs.
Indeed, and your reaction to it says something else, like there's just anxiety infects every pore of life, so let's just all be excellent to each other.
Yeah.
Extend that excellence towards Chris Jericho, and in fact, most people.
Yeah.
And unless they are coming at you first, in which case...
Oh, yeah, we'll finish him off.
Yeah.
But Andy's not here, by the way, today, because he's got his first cold in 2 years. So that just speaks to the way that we live right now. Get well soon, Andy, along with Chris Jericho and Jeff Hardy, of course. Johnny Gargano, let's talk a little bit about him. We can do some speculation on this one because he is now officially a free agent. His deal with WWE expired at midnight on Thursday night into Friday morning, of course. This is according to a new report from Fightful Select. You may remember he signed a brief contract extension to sort of take him past NXT War Games. A bit like Adam Cole, I think a lot of people assumed. He wants to do business the right way. Still a whole load of speculation out there, of course, because he did the angle at the end of this week's NXT Double L, where he got attacked by Grayson Waller, and people thought, is that him being written off for good? Is it being him written off for a while so he can go and be with Candice LeRae? The birth of their son is due in February. Who knows? What do you reckon, Sidge? Johnny Gargano is an insanely talented performer, but he does have, you know, links and a real commitment to what used to be NXT. What do you see in his future?
Yeah, he's gone. He's absolutely gone. If, in fact, a lot of you might not be 65 years old, so you might not have watched NXT 2.0 on Tuesday night. But for those who missed it, Johnny Gargano cut this heartfelt promo. It was really genuinely good.
Yeah.
The production canned in noise kind of ruined it a little bit, but it was an excellent promo from Gargano, and he sold a hell of a beatdown to get Grayson Waller over.
Yeah.
In the aftermath of which, it wasn't made clear whether... Is this like an angle or is it just a way? Because he's already done business like twice on the way out. He lost to Bron Breakker.
Mm-hmm.
His team lost at War Games, and now he's just been beaten out of the territory. My initial feeling, and you know, I don't know for sure, but my guess would be if in fact he's taken some time off and he's building towards a grudge match with Grayson Waller, why wouldn't he make some money while he could do it?
Mm.
He had leverage in these negotiations. They really wanted to keep him. He could have said, look, I want some time off, and you can pay me while I take that time off,
yeah,
and I'll do business with Grayson Waller in this wider attempt to get this younger generation over. He's not doing that for free, therefore he is not doing it unless he's a very stupid man. And I think Johnny Gargano is one of the cleverest operators in all of pro wrestling right now. I firmly expect him to turn up in AEW at some point or another. And honestly, I'm as guilty as anybody else for taking the piss out of the pretty parodic melodrama that infected NXT for the last couple of years. But all you need to do is look at his Dragon Gate USA run and his Evolve runs. Like, he's not necessarily a guy who has to do melodrama to get over. He's an absolutely outrageously gifted technical pro wrestler, in which style is most fashionable in that company, AEW, right now. That's his destination. I'll be shocked if it isn't.
I say this time and time and time again. He is one of the very few wrestlers who've made me change my opinion on who I want to win a match without a turn happening.
Oh, man.
Takeover New York. I'm still a bit clueless about NXT, if I'm perfectly honest. We went in, Adam Cole, obviously Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. And everyone there is doing, Adam Cole, baby, as we're walking in. I'm like, yeah, look at the handsome bastard. Let's have him win.
Yeah.
And Gargano, just through his sheer will and fight in that match, won me over.
It's craft as well.
It's my favourite match of all time. I don't really mind where he ends up, as long as he's happy. I think he probably would be best utilised in AEW. I know people have speculated whether he's going to pop up in the bloody Royal Rumble. Like you say, I don't know why they wouldn't just re-sign him if he was going to stick around in WWE.
Well, he's got the leverage. He could have said, look, pays for a while.
Yeah, Candice LeRae's contract runs out in the spring, I think. So it was one of those where after War Games, if you'd have said, what's going on with Kayleen Kyle O'Reilly, I was like, agree with Andy, Kyle's gone, Johnny's staying. And then after NXT, I went, oh, they're both gone.
Yeah.
So there you go. But we'll keep you posted on any developments with that. Of course, with his contract expiring, I should point out, no non-compete. In theory, he could show up at Winter is Coming if he wanted to next week for AEW. I don't think that's going to happen, but just keep an eye out for him. Going to be very excited to see what he does next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's finally talk about Monday Night Raw. It, of course, concluded with the Raw Women's Championship match, Becky Lynch defending against Liv Morgan. But according to reports, that wasn't originally the plan up until show day, basically. This is according to PW Insider's Mike Johnson. It was going to be Big E and Kevin Owens in that steel cage to be the main event of that show. But eventually on show day, they really pushed for Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan, the world title match, to be put on, especially because obviously it landed on the 17-year anniversary of Lita and Trish, the Raw main event from the 6th of December 2004. First time two women have ever contested the Raw headlining spot, of course. It was something they, I assume, realised on the day and hastily put together those video packages linking the two. And to be honest, you know, we review this, obviously, every week, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. We were slightly indifferent towards the steel cage match, and we quite enjoyed the title match. I think, you know, yes, the ratings are what they are, but I thought that was the right decision.
Are you telling me plans changed?
I am indeed saying plans changed on Monday Night Raw, on show day of all times.
It's a nice thing to do until you actually remember what it was like to watch WWE at the time of the first Raw Women's main event. It is put over as this milestone, right? It kind of pisses me off a little bit. It was a great individual career achievement from Trish and Lita.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not denying that. They earned the hell out of it, and it was a cracking match full of drama. Some really good improvisation as well. It's really, really great. But they had the Diva Search that same year.
Yeah.
Like, Vince McMahon was like just trying to shag every diva the year after. Like, it, no.
That was
the, you're not having it. You're not having that achievement.
That was, I think, the start of the Women's Revolution, if I'm not mistaken. December 2004. We all remember nothing after that ever went terribly wrong for women in WWE. No. Anyway, let's move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. Of course, we want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Black Hammer, who says, I was thinking CM Punk and MJF would have their match at Win It Is Coming, but that doesn't seem to be the way now. When do you think their match will be, and what are they going to do until then?
Well, keep doing more angles. Maybe stuff with Larry, but I'm a ghoul.
Right?
Okay, I'm a ghoul. Like, don't show Larry. Just get, like, some kind of, like, piped-in noise of a dog barking. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm completely lost in the main event picture. Not that it's bad, I just think it's so captivating mm-hmm. and multi-stranded. Like, Adam Cole's racking up loads of singles wins. I think I had it nailed on that Adam Cole versus Hangman Page would be the Revolution main event, with the idea that Adam Cole's winning loads. There's a mint story to tell, given their fascinating backstory. And in fact, my opinion is that Adam Cole is money as your top leading babyface star. So if he loses his first title challenge in the heel role, you can disassociate him from the heel role. But Punk versus MJF, they've heavily hinted towards the fact that the winner of which is going to then face Hangman Page or Danielson. They need something big for that TBS debut. They want the time zone thing to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
They want an opening strike to say, like, look, this is how big it can get, and if you stick with us on the journey, we will give you things like this periodically so they feel special. So I'm thinking, is it January the 5th?
5th, 6th, something like
that. Something like that, yeah. I'm thinking the TBS debut.
I got to agree with you on that one. I think, obviously, you know, MJF's fighting at Winner Is Coming. He's facing Dante Martin for the beautiful diamond ring, which he's going to retain, in my opinion. Probably maybe have Punk on commentary for that, considering their history, if you want to do something along those lines to keep him busy. Or just have him come out and cut a promo, or, like you say, have Wardlow with a bag.
Yeah.
Can't see the dog in it, cause, like you say, don't actually do this, but have him F10 it to the moon.
Absolutely. Given their shared love of Roddy Piper and the fact that this is going to, I think, mutate into, like, a really hateful grudge program, if it's not there already, they can stip the hell up.
Yeah.
Out of, they could do a dog collar match.
Yeah.
Something
that's
like
a shout,
that.
Yeah. And I think
Larry. Baby. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. I think MJF wins as well and goes on to Revolution and defeats Hangman Page for the title, but I'm incredibly biased. But that's what I'd like to see, and it would be a hell of a, like, line in the sand, like you say, when they move to TBS. Jana Kemmer gives us the next question of the day. She says, I'm currently sick in hospital. Get well soon,
Yeah,
Jana.
Get well soon.
For some reason, YouTube works, but Fight TV won't let me play Dynamite. Damn you. So what are your favourite matches that can be found on YouTube?
I'll try and be quick, because it's quite the treasure trove. Like, if you really, what you want to do is watch these matches, and then the algorithm will treat you to, like, loads of great stuff. A lot of the 90s All Japan Pro Wrestling scene is available on YouTube to watch. Just type in Misawa Kawada 1994 or Misawa Kobashi from 1997, and you'll be in Pro Wrestling Dreamland. Those matches haven't aged at all. In fact, you'll watch those matches. I'm a big advocate for modern pro wrestling, but when you watch Kenta Kobashi in particular sell, you think a bit more of that would not go amiss mm-hmm. in the modern scene. He's unbelievable at drawing you into his struggle and fighting back over it. In addition to that, I want a massive American Dragon kick, reliving some of his best ROH stuff when it was rumored that he was going to sign for AEW, and loads of his big, epic, incredible ROH matches from the mid to late 2000s are available on YouTube as well. So just type in ROH Bryan Danielson and you'll get about 10 of the best matches you're ever likely to see. You get, there's a match there, 2 out of 3 falls with Paul London from like 2003.
Love Paul London,
at the
man.
Top of my head. You'll get a glimpse of just how good, how early Danielson was.
Was that before or after they became the bees that were dolphins? And
that was before.
Okay,
that was before.
Go and check that out as well if you can. It's a brief promo of the two of them that it will have you in stitches. For me, I just looked up some recent classic WWE matches. There's Nakamura Zayn from TakeOver. There is the War Games match with Kevin Owens returning on there. There is, I believe, possibly Andrade versus Johnny Gargano, that classic match from a TakeOver as well, which is well worth checking out, especially at the moment with the potential of them doing something in AEW together. And, not to be biased, but there's also a whole host of really good Defiant Pro Wrestling matches, or WCPW. Go and check them out. They're all on our YouTube channel. Trust me, you will keep yourself entertained, Jana. And get well soon.
Yes,
final
well
question
soon.
Today comes from Matthew, who says, in response to the criticism of AEW's booking of the women, should they have at least one episode of Rampage with only women's matches on a semi-regular basis? I'd even say they should have a ladies' night as one of their specials next year. I'd love to see it. What do you reckon? Because I know, you know, you're obviously a big fan of AEW, but yes, there has been criticism around the women's division.
Totally justified as well. I thought Rampage would go a long way towards resolving the issues. And you know what? The TBS title tournament and the way certain storylines are branching out of it with Shida and Deeb and the like, I think there's been a lot of good work, but we've kind of been here before. I don't necessarily think an all-women's card is the way to go just yet. I feel like that would be an overcorrection, and if it dies in the ratings, then
yeah,
it just wouldn't do anyone any favours. I would simply put two matches on Dynamite
yes,
and one match on Rampage as a starter. Who knows, like, if this division can reach its potential, because there's so many great raw talent in that division. Anna Jay, Ty Conti's still not totally ungreen yet, for lack of a better word. Layla Hirsch has still got a long way to go. If all of these women and more reach their potential, yes, do an all-women's card. But for now, when was the last time Layla Hirsch was on TV?
I genuinely can't remember.
Too long ago. And if you bump that up to two matches per week, you'll just get ahead of the criticisms that at present are probably going to face AEW this time next year as well. Get a move on.
Yeah, I've got to just echo everything that you've said there, and the fact that they occasionally go, we'll put a women's squash match on Rampage, isn't making anything change there.
Red Velvet's class, and I want to see more Red Velvet.
Yeah, I love Jade Cargill, but, you know, just putting her squash matches on Rampage is a palate cleanser before the main event just doesn't cut it.
And I describe Jamie Hayter as the female Pac. Obviously, she's nowhere yes, near there as yeah, a performer yet, but she's got the potential, and I don't want to see her do nothing for too long, and then, oh, she's back on Dynamite. Nah.
Yeah, completely agree. Oh, bollocks, I've just realised I haven't actually prepped anything for today's And Finally. Have you got anything that you could potentially mention here, Michael Sidgwick?
Funny you should say.
Oh! Oh!
What's this?
What's this here?
What's this?
It is the brilliant new book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, written by one... Yep, also, Michael Sidgwick is available right now at whatculture.bigcartel.com. Those of you on social media will know we got a whole pallet full of these books delivered yesterday, and you've been spending most of your time in the office signing copy after copy.
It's fantastic. Not only do you feel like a big legend,
yeah,
but it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
And I value the support, so I'm happy to do it.
Exactly. You can get them, as I said, unsigned or signed. You can get it signed, come on. whatculture.bigcartel.com. You can probably, if you order them now, get them just in time for Christmas. That's not a promise. I've no idea. I'm not kept in the loop about these sort of things. But regardless, go and check it out. You've also got Sidge's old book all about NXT available online, as well as the new 606 wrestling matches to see before you die book, and a few other things knocking around the What Culture office. Please do go and check it out. whatculture.bigcartel.com.
It's going to sell out soon as well.
It's a fascinating read from the
yeah, it's great.
I've glimpsed at.
It's fantastic.
I'm just wondering, when do you want me to do the audiobook for this? No? Okay, well, maybe I'll just steal a few copies and write, is this the best book ever? In the inside.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, just a couple of very exclusive ones.
Yes.
It's like Willy Wonka, but...
Oh. Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Willy Wilborn Wonka.
Wilborn Wonka.
They've got a nice signed book here from Michael Sidgwick, and then Wilborn's ruined it. WhatCulture.BigCartel.com. Let us know your thoughts on that and all of today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, myself and the Dadley Boys sitting down to preview SmackDown and AEW Rampage a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
MSidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.